Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, visit seniorcarelive.com, or you can get that podcast wherever you subscribe. All right. Would like to introduce my friend and special guest, Mr. Glenn Stockton with Stockton and Cant. And Glenn, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Steve, thank you for having me here. Glad to be here.
You bet. So for the Kansas City area, I'm going to give you some contact information. You will have questions after we talk about this important information. Reach out to Glenn and the great team at Stockton and Cant, 913-856-2828. That's 913-856-2828. You could also visit online at StocktonLaw.com. And for everyone outside of the Kansas City area and all the different states that we're in, you can find an elder law attorney. Just go to this website, NAELA, the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, NAELA.org. And you can put in your zip code, put in your city, and you'll get a list of qualified attorneys in your area. So, Glenn, we just spoke with our friends from Kansas City Hospice about estate planning, a very important subject for sure. I think Estate Planning Awareness Week is October 21st through 27th. Would love to ask you about power of attorney documents. So everyone's heard of them, but let's just define that. What is a power of attorney document?
So I'll start off by saying a very critical, important incapacity or disability planning document. So a power of attorney is basically a document that you're appointing somebody else or some other people to make decisions on your behalf, typically in the estate planning arena anyhow, when you're no longer able to make that decision for yourself.
So you're allowing someone else to speak for you on your behalf.
That would be correct.
So you better trust them, and you better have that person or people chosen wisely.
Yeah, and you know, we want people to think it through. Who do you want making those decisions? And typically, you know, for most people, they have people they trust, but yep. Then it's making sure that they have the power to do what they need to do.
So what are the main types of power of attorney documents that everyone should really have?
So in the estate planning context, there's two powers of attorneys. One is your healthcare power of attorney, where you're appointing somebody or some people to make healthcare decisions on your behalf when you no longer can make them yourself. And the other is the financial power of attorney for finances and property, where you're appointing somebody or some people, again, to make decisions about your property and finances when you can't do so yourself.
Okay, so I don't know. I think it's pretty important to have a detailed financial power of attorney document. And I've heard all of the stories of, well, you know, we have this one-page power of attorney document. It says, I, you know, Steve, grant you know, maybe my wife or someone else, the power to do anything and everything you want with my money. And it's just very, very vanilla. I'm understanding that that's a real problem these days.
Well, it certainly is on the financial side. I think on the healthcare, you know, who do you want to make healthcare decisions on your behalf? It doesn't have to go into a lot of detail.
Yeah, yeah.
There's things that you want to consider. But when it comes on the financial side, you absolutely want to go into detail. The days of the general durable power of attorney being all we need are long gone. When I first started practicing, that's all someone needed. But state legislatures around the country have started enacting laws in response to what was seen as elder abuse, where they now require, if you're going to give your power of attorney, which are called your agent under the law, but if you're giving your power of attorney the ability to make decisions on these certain things, it has to be very specifically stated within the document or they don't have the power.
And so you need a lot of different examples of when someone could exercise that power of attorney for, I don't know, I could probably think of 10 or 12 just right off the top of my head of specific examples of how to handle your money.
Yeah, it can. And you don't necessarily have to list those examples out, okay. But you would want things that would be in there to be, you know, I want to have the authority to sell my home that is my primary residence. And so, for example, here in Kansas, we have a very specific requirement that the power of attorney must contain a legal description for the home where they don't have the ability. And so that's a quirkiness of Kansas law that other states may not, you know, typically don't have. So, you know, that would be a specific power that must be enumerated or stated, or they wouldn't have the power to sell it. They could sell other real estate, but they couldn't sell your primary residence unless that was specifically provided for. So there's a lot of things, but you talked about, you know, when it's active, that because it's the other thing. Most people make their powers of attorney, you know, their financial power of attorney, effective upon their incapacity is determined by two licensed physicians in writing, and it goes on. Is there anything wrong with that? Not necessarily, but what I want people to think about is, you know, let's think this through. How does that work when you get to the point that you need this document, and now we've got to wait for you to be examined by two doctors, we've got to wait for you to get their letters written, and that can take time, and we may be in, where we need to move quickly. So I always say we can also make it effective immediately, right? So we don't even necessarily have to tell our power of attorney, our agent, that, hey, it's effective immediately. They'll find out when they get there. But I want people to think through, when is it going to be effective? Who do you want making the decisions?
And then I would imagine I like backup plans and redundancy. So I would imagine on a power of attorney document, it's really important to have the backup or a number two or three or four person, because so say, for an example, in a really simple situation, I grant my wife the opportunity to do, you know, all of these things and exercise her power, et cetera, and make financial decisions, et cetera. But what if both of us, God forbid, die in a car wreck or something like that? Don't you need to have redundancies to go to the next person and the next person if something like that were to happen?
Certainly would be recommended. And so what you'll typically see, I appoint my spouse to make those decisions if I can no longer make them myself. If my spouse is unable, then maybe it's my son. If my son can't do it, it's my daughter. And it's typically, so we have at least a couple deep that we have. That way, if something did happen to you and your spouse, we've already named that backup, and we don't need to go into the courts and get somebody appointed as a conservator or guardian for you. But what I want people back to that thing where we can have one or many. I always tell people, think through, how does this work when we actually need this document? Let's think this through. This comes at a time of life, typically, you're unable to make decisions for yourself, and you're appointing somebody to do it. And if I put this just on my daughter, she's the one making decisions. She can feel like her life's on hold if I have any kind of extended stay in, the hospital, nursing care. She's like, I need to be there for dad. So what if it said, maybe I say my spouse because she's with me all the time anyhow. Sure. But if she can't do it, it's any of the three of my kids as co-power of attorney with power to act independently. You want them to have the right. You don't want to create a situation. If you do, be intentional. But if we required that they all agree, well, they would all have to countersign every check, all have to be on every phone call. But give them the power to act independently. We create transparency. We give the ability, if my daughter's the one taking lead and she's taken off on a cruise, she can do so and just ask her brothers to step in, and we don't have to sign a bunch of paperwork. So those are things I just want people to think through. It doesn't mean that everybody should go out and put multiple people there. But what I find, people are always worried, what if they disagree? And I'll tell you my experience, I see far more fighting and disagreeing when we put one in charge and the others are kept in the dark. And so if they get along relatively well, this can work well. But it doesn't mean everybody should do it. But I just want people to know they have options when it comes to their powers of attorneys that can make a huge impact on keeping the family peace and making things easy, which are two of the big reasons people do estate planning to begin with. They don't want to be a burden. They want this to be easy for the kids, and they don't want the kids fighting and arguing about things.
So I'll guarantee you, all kinds of people listening to this program right now, the light bulb is like, ding. They're like, oh, wow, I had not thought that through. And guess what? Most people don't really think this through unless you meet with a professional. And so if you'd like to reach out to Glenn Stockton, StocktonLaw.com or 913-856-2828. And Glenn, you would meet with someone and you would just help the family think through all of this so that they have a rock solid plan. They have their power of attorney documents in place as well as a lot of other things, and they can have the peace of mind. I know peace of mind is a little bit of a cliche, but it truly is peace of mind. You can sleep tonight knowing, hey, we are covered no matter what, and we're comfortable with that.
I think it absolutely is a peace of mind, and we see it on our clients, faces all the time and how they react to this. But the idea is you got to, review this stuff periodically too, because things change. And so, we've talked before in our firm, we like to meet with our clients on a regular basis. We call it the annual check-in. We're not charging our clients. We've always found this to be mutually beneficial because we want to make sure our clients understand, that we're just looking at the documents. We're making sure the people we appoint are still the appropriate people. How's our client's health? How's their health? How's everybody getting along? Those types of things. But for those of you who aren't working with an attorney, that is checking in with you, just look at this stuff periodically. Make sure, are these still the people I want making the decisions? Is there anything that's changed in the law? Anything that would need to be updated here?
Okay. And then does a power of attorney document ever expire or is no longer in effect?
So under the law, no. There's nothing in the statute that says the power of attorney isn't effective after so much time. But in practice, in reality, yes. most, a whole lot of, let's put it that way, financial institutions, banks have adopted internal policies that they will not honor a power of attorney that is more than 5 years old.
Oh.
And we are seeing a trend where some of them are even rejecting it on shorter times than that. So you want to update your financial power of attorney every few years. And I recommend to clients and people, take your financial power of attorney, take it to your bank, take it to your financial advisor and other financial professionals. Make sure they have a copy. If they have additional documents they want to sign, because you want to make sure they're going to honor it when the time comes where it's not really going to have helped much. So make sure you're taking it to them to approve.
And get that thing and keep that thing updated. Glenn Stockton, 913-856-2828. Online at StocktonLaw.com. We're going to have more with Glenn coming right up.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome to the Long-Term Care Minute, brought to you by the law firm of Stockton & Cant, your trusted partners in elder law and estate planning.
I'm attorney Glenn Stockton. Many of you are concerned about what would happen to your home and assets if you ever need nursing care. Yet most people don't really do anything to plan for the cost of care until they are already seated at the admissions desk at the nursing home. While you may have an estate plan in place, in our experience, most plans simply fail to address the potential need for long-term care. At Stockton & Cant, we work with our clients to craft customized estate plans that include provisions to help protect them and their assets should they ever need nursing care. Don't let the fear of going broke in a nursing home keep you up at night. Take control of your future with the trusted attorneys at Stockton & Cant. Visit us online at StocktonLaw.com or give us a call at 913-856-2828. Stockton & Cant, where peace of mind begins.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right. So, Glenn, I have a lot of people I speak with each and every week. They're not sure about Medicaid. They're not sure exactly how to qualify for it. So I kind of have a presentation that I go through pretty much with every client I sit down with relative to covering their cost of nursing home care, which can be quite expensive, as you know. The one area I get the most questions about is how to qualify and then what would cause a Medicaid penalty. So let's just kind of start to break that down. What is Medicaid?
So Medicaid is a federal program administered at the state level. So each state has different rules about how they implement this federal program. But it's really designed for people that are either low income, low assets, or it's the insurance that's designed to pay for nursing homes, long-term care when someone needs that and doesn't have the resources to pay for it themselves or has done proper planning.
Okay. And we're talking about, $9,000 to $12,000 a month. So it's quite expensive. A lot of people do outlive their assets, or like you said, it may not be there to begin with. So how do you qualify for Medicaid? Let's just say, for example, in the state of Kansas.
Okay. Very easy. You got three options to qualify for Medicaid. So the first one is spend all your money till you have none. Okay. Then you would qualify, because in Kansas, we have to spend down to $2,000 or less, go through what's called a Medicaid spend down. Our other options, if we're not going to go through the spend down, are give it away or transfer it to a qualified trust. It's the only three options we have.
Okay. All right. And if you're married, so now that sounds like it's a lot more complicated. How does Medicaid and trying to qualify for that, how does that work with a married couple? Because now you have maybe his assets, her assets, and their assets. So it that probably gets a lot more complicated, I'm assuming.
it can, but it also can give us a lot more options that we didn't have for a single individual. So first of all, as a general rule, when it comes to Medicaid, between a married couple, what his is hers and hers is his, Medicaid says it's all available there. But okay. There's some exceptions. Again, it's governed by state law. So in Kansas, the IRAs or retirement accounts of the spouse who does not need nursing home care or not needing that level of care are exempt. And there can be other exemptions for a married couple under spousal impoverishment laws and that we can protect assets for the spouse that's not needing care. So, you know, when it comes to planning, those are things because we can often recharacterize assets. We can move assets from one spouse to the other to help protect them under exemption. So there's a lot we can do and probably have more options with a married couple rather than when someone is single where we don't have those options.
All right. And I always say some of the best money you will ever spend in your lifetime is to work with a qualified elder law attorney. I would recommend reaching out to Glenn Stockton at StocktonLaw.com or 913-856-2828. You could also go online if you're outside of the Kansas City area to naela.org to find a local qualified elder law attorney in your area. Okay, so Glenn, I always seem to get this question. and I've got my little air quotes up here. So, Steve, what if I just make that money, air quote, disappear? Meaning someone may have the thought of trying to, you know, trying to go around the Medicaid rules, and I'll share my response to that. But I was wondering if someone says, "Well, Glenn, I'll just make that money disappear." What's your response to that? Because I'm sure you've heard that a million times.
You know, and I would take them back to three ways to make it disappear within Medicaid rules. Spend it, give it away, or put it in trust. Spend it, great. If it's just I'm going to commit Medicaid fraud and I'm not going to disclose that this money was there or they gave the money away, I wouldn't recommend it. There's civil penalties, potential criminal penalties, loss of Medicaid and Medicare eligibility, all kinds of restitution, all kinds of things that come in. So don't recommend it. But for those who do, I guess Club Fed has three square meals a day for them.
Yeah. Three squares in a cot in a shower, I guess, or something like that. Depending on if I'm feeling frisky, and I've had a lot of people ask me, well, Steve, I'll just make the money just disappear. And I got the air quotes up. And I'm like, well, I have one question for you. How do you look in all orange, like the orange jumpsuit, right? Because that's no bueno. You don't do it.
No, we don't want to do that. There's plenty of opportunities to do planning within the rules. We want to stay within the rules.
Okay. And then when is the ideal time in a perfect world? When do you begin Medicaid planning?
So, you know, if we're in the ideal world, we never needed it, but we still want to plan, right? We hope we never need long-term care. No, I'm just giving our time there. But,
no, that's good.
But if we're planning, ideally, we're planning for 5 or more years in advance because Medicaid has a 5-year look back, which simply means they're looking at your asset picture on the day you apply, but they're also looking back over the prior 5 years. And any money you gave away or transferred trust comes into your financial snapshot as if you still had it. So it counts against you. So ideally, we've done the planning more than 5 years before we need long-term care.
Okay. And so, all right. So I'm talking to our listeners. If you can see this coming and you think this is a need that you're going to have, it's just not, it's never too early to start talking about that. Is that right, Glenn?
I agree. I think, you know, let's have a plan. I don't have the crystal ball, Steve. You don't have one either. And we run into this all the time where people are not planning in advance. So plan when we're still relatively healthy and keep the plan simple. But as we get closer to that, usually we have indicators that are there. It didn't catch us by surprise, but we want to lay the groundwork early on for that planning.
So if someone did not plan in advance and now they're kind of filled with regret of, oh my gosh, we really should have done that. Or maybe it was an out of the blue thing of a heart attack or a stroke that no one saw coming. You have a lot of different situations like that. Can you still help someone maybe even in crisis mode or kind of that last minute situation?
Absolutely. So, and unfortunately, so many people fall in that, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's thinking about this until they're seated at the admissions desk at the nursing home, and then all of a sudden it becomes a big issue. So as an elder law attorney, there's a whole lot that we can do to help someone qualify, but we're limited. We're in crisis mode. So the ideal situation, as you said, plan early, but if you didn't, absolutely see an elder law attorney.
And so you mentioned that 5-year look back. I think it used to be a 3-year look back, and now it's a 5-year look back. So what are some examples of what Medicaid would be looking for that would be considered a gift, and then that would cause a Medicaid penalty? So what are some examples of what they're looking for?
You transferred your home to your kids, put to the kids within that prior 5 years to applying, or you took money out of your accounts and you gifted it over to the children. Gave it to your grandkids, you're giving money away, or you transferred it to a trust, within that 5-year period. And they're going to just count that asset against all the 5-year look backs. As we look back, we saw that transfer, that gift, whatever it was, we're putting it in your financial snapshot as if you still had it. And they create this penalty equal to the amount of care it would have paid for had you not, in essence.
And then if you do all of this longer than 5 years, say 6-10 years before, then your 5-year snapshot, your 5-year look back, there's nothing there, and so that wouldn't cause any penalty if it was longer than 5 years ago.
Right. It's not that you can't do it. It's just you have to do it. It used to be 3 years. Now you have to do that planning 5 or more years before you need it.
All right, Glenn Stockton at StocktonLaw.com or 913-856-2828. Glenn, every time I have you on the show, it goes boom, just like that. We got to have you back sooner this time.
All right. I appreciate you having me on here and would love to come back. And it does go by fast.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, thanks, Glenn. And I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
Welcome to the Long-Term Care Minute, brought to you by the law firm of Stockton & Cant, your trusted partners in elder law and estate planning.
I'm attorney Glenn Stockton. Today, let's delve deeper into the vital importance of elder law planning. Imagine, you worked hard your entire life to build a legacy for your loved ones, but without proper planning, unforeseen legal issues can jeopardize everything you've worked for. That's where Stockton & Cant steps in. We're not just lawyers, we're your partners in safeguarding your future. From drafting meticulous estate plans to navigating the complexity of Medicaid and long-term care, our team ensures your wishes are honored and your assets are protected. Don't wait until it's too late. Take control of your future with Stockton & Cant. Visit us online at StocktonLaw.com or give us a call at 913-856-2828 to schedule your consultation. Because when it comes to elder law planning, knowledge is power. Stockton & Cant. Planning for tomorrow, today.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.